This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Mike, we got the top stories of the day. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. The Dodgers. They're the champs. They became the first team to repeat since the 2000 New York Yankees. And that was a... Listen, I turned it on late. The come-from-behind victory in Game 7. Winning 5-4 in the 11th inning. It was a hell of a series. I gotta say that. It was a hell of a series. It was the second consecutive 7-game series the Blue Jays had played. And so, I mean, they were outlasted. They outlasted the Mariners. They could not outlast the Dodgers. But the Dodgers win. Yay. I don't care. I don't hate it. I was rooting for the comeback, honestly, when I turned the game on, just because I wanted to see some excitement. And it certainly was. How about Cam Little for the Jacksonville Jaguars setting an NFL record, Michael? A 68-yard field goal. 68. Dude, kickers are built different now. These guys are absolutely drilling these, and now we get to the point where, could we see a 70-yard field goal at some point? Wow.
No doubt. But most importantly, he did it against the Raiders.
Beat the Raiders. Beat the Raiders. 30-29. That was nuts. Just Little said, he was asked about it. You kick it long enough and you kick it straight enough, it's going to go in. Me and Logan Cook, the holder, kind of had a one-on-one right before the kick, and I said, I'm going to hit this ball as hard as I can. Usually when I tell myself that, I find success. I love that. Is that what they probably teach in kicking camps, right? If you kick it long enough and you kick it straight enough, it's going to go in. That should be on a t-shirt somewhere. Wow, 68-yard field goal. So this was one positive from the game last night. Sam Darnold throws 4 first-half touchdowns in a blowout win. The Seahawks absolutely throttled Washington. And Darnold is getting serious talk about MVP. Like, he has been really good this year. Talk about a career change, like flipping upside down. And what he did in Minnesota was fantastic and then kind of fell apart in the playoffs, but he has been really good this year. 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He's one of the tops right now, man. And, you know, guys like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, you see, like, why didn't it work at their old spots? Bad organizations. You know, Baker's becoming like a legend now with Tampa Bay. Sam Darnold getting away from the Jets and the Panthers. He is now a household. He's becoming like a household name. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now. So that's cool. But then the sad part on the other side of that, I made the terrible mistake watching the video of Jaden Daniels dislocated his elbow late in that game. It was a blowout, folks, and he was in that game with like 7 minutes to go. He is scheduled to undergo an MRI today to confirm the diagnosis and help determine recovery timeline, but he's expected to be sidelined indefinitely. Still uncertain unless something has come across that I haven't seen yet. whether his season is over or not. But there were 7 minutes and 39 seconds remaining. They were down 38-7. You don't play your starting quarterback, winning or losing, with 7 minutes and 39 seconds when you're losing 38-7. I don't think. I thought that was strange that he was in, but man, that looked gross. That was pretty bad. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Yeah, Big Hub says bad coaching to leave Daniels in. Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time we've seen a bad coaching decision lead to a quarterback get hurt in Washington. You know, we saw that Shanahan with RG3. And a lot of people believe maybe he ruined his career because they wanted to get in the playoffs. But that was rough. You don't like the knock on Shanny on that, Mike? On Mike Shanahan leaving RG3
in?
I'm
angry at my computer.
Oh, okay. You're flipping somebody off. I didn't know who you were flipping off. Broncos win yesterday against the Houston Texans, and now this has got us talking, because we said on Friday, okay, here's a test. No, the Texans don't have a winning record, but yes, we believe this team will be a playoff team. I'm not sure what that looks like going forward, but, you know, with the way this went down, I don't know if you can knock this Broncos team off. I mean, scoring 33 points against the Giants in the fourth quarter, handling the Cowboys with relative ease, and then this game, you scored 11 in the fourth quarter to ultimately win 18-15. Still a lot of issues with Denver. Special teams. Is it on special teams coordinator at this point? I mean, Darren Rizzi, you had a blocked field goal, and then you had a muffed punt. And that was rough, man. This special teams unit has some serious problems. It could cost them some games down the stretch. It has already.
Was it Quinn Meinerz who was responsible for the? Because it was one of the offensive linemen who screwed up the blocked field goal.
I don't know exactly, but Sean Payton was pretty upset. He said, "Without watching tape, my concern was just the late subs. It was a little bit sloppy in the kicking game. We'll get that cleaned up, or we'll find someone else that can do it." So is Darren Rizzi on borrowed time as the special teams coordinator for the Broncos?
It's possible. I mean, he's supposed to be one of the best, but is there, I don't know. Do they need to put the starters in there? Because right now the backups aren't.
But it's not even just the big plays, too. It's Broncos opponents have now outgained Denver in combined kickoff and punt return yardage in 5 out of the Broncos' 9 games, despite a 7-2 start. Those are all those little things that we talk about, why an offense moves downfield faster against Denver, why they're put in different positions, why the Broncos aren't number one defensively in every category. Some of it's on the Broncos, on the defense, but some of it's stuff like this. I mean, they struggle with penalties on Sunday. You had flags on J.L. Skinner and for Brony on his note, too. They were both hit with flags. Skinner was called for holding on 1 fourth quarter punt despite being on the coverage team. And then you had the blocked Lutz field goal attempt.
What is that? His second miss?
Yeah. It's a bad spot.
Like usually,
we've been dealing with that now for 2 years.
Usually when you're having problems with special teams, you can blame it on the punter and the kicker. But our punters and kickers are candidates for the Pro Bowl. Like, Jeremy Crawshaw is a freaking stud. Mm-hmm. He is so good. What was it, a 72-yard punt yesterday and a 52-yard, it might have been 71 and 51, booted in into the end zone. That's huge field position change.
Well, and he's mad that he didn't get it inside the 10. He got it on the 10. He was pissed at himself that he didn't get it inside the 10.
I mean, like this dude's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why the rest of the team can't freaking do it. Like, Broncos aren't getting enough return yardage, and they're giving up so much return yardage. Like,
nope.
Do you remember, I don't remember which, it might have been the 2010 or something, San Diego Chargers, the only team in the league to have the number one offense and the number one defense. The only team ever. And they never made the playoffs because their special teams was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of how you feel. Like, if your special teams gets any worse, well, their special teams was a lot worse than ours. But, like, it makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
It makes you feel really awful.
We're talking about slow starting offense. The bigger issue that's going to cost you, could potentially cost you games, is if you don't get this cleaned up.
And we're having some close games here.
And that blocked field goal almost was damning.
If the Texans didn't miss a field goal.
Yeah. I mean, all those things change the course of the game or whatever, but this is something that Denver has to figure out if they want to be a real contender. They're winning games despite that stuff, but these are the things that I look at when you do get down the stretch for the rest of the way. And if you want to win the AFC West, if you want to be in the conversation I think that's where we are. They're in the conversation right now at least finishing with a number one seed, or at least coming close to that. But you saw it against the Colts and the Chargers. Special teams hurt them. I mean, the Broncos could be 9-0 right now. They could be a different record. They could be worse, too, if some of these other games didn't go that way. But those two games just kind of stick out like a sore thumb.
You know what? How about the Broncos just boot it into the end zone? Just kick it all the way through the end zone and say 35-yard line every time.
Yeah.
You can't trust your coverage, 35-yard line every time.
How impressed were you with that Denver defense, though, on the positive? You know, you're without Patrick Surtain, and I assume there might be a little bit of a drop-off, but quarterback or no quarterback, you still held a team to 15 points.
I was impressed by the Texans' offensive line, allowing only four sacks.
Four sacks, yeah.
So many pressures, but only four sacks. With C.J. Stroud, I think there would have been more sacks on him, because he probably would have tried to get out of it, and he would have turned his face into one of the defenders.
The Broncos are still winning the sack battle. The next in line is Detroit with 28. Denver has 40. I mean, it's just an elite front seven. And that's what when we talked about how big of a drop off we would see with Surtain out, the saving grace for Denver is that they're good in like almost every position, every phase of defense. They are really damn solid. That helps a lot when you lose a player like Surtain. Now, you don't want it to, you want him back as soon as freaking possible, but this team is good enough defensively where they can survive losing one of their best players.
The one problem, though, is they've had three turnovers that I can recall?
They don't force turnovers. Yeah, that's right. They don't force turnovers.
Turnover is like, it's better than a sack. Like, you can get seven sacks, but like, three turnovers in the game is way better.
Yeah, they're near the bottom half. I mean, they're right in the middle of forcing turnovers, but it's just, you haven't seen a ton. And I know that that's something. It's like, you're getting nitpicky here. It's still one of the elite defenses, but they have, what, six interceptions and four fumble recoveries. So it's kind of we're getting nitpicky, I guess, with this defense, but how big are the goals in Denver? And if you ask Michael, it's, they could win a Super Bowl. And if that's the real belief there, and I think that is, there's a few things that got to get cleaned up. Special teams, you know, defensively not forcing some of those turnovers, make it a little bit easier, put an offense in a position to score quicker. And then obviously the slow start on the offense has just been, that's been the one of the bigger ones, because if you had a high-powered offense, then the special teams issues wouldn't be so glaring.
I think it's play calling. Sean, he you got to understand the, I don't know, maybe I'm just an armchair quarterback here, but just yesterday, throwing it laterally, plays going laterally, can't do that against a fast defense,
so
intelligent
tired.
Defense like this.
I'm getting so tired of those. I mean, what did we say at the beginning, that the Broncos lead the league in screen play attempts? He likes him some screen plays, man. He does. He really wants to use the...
He likes him some screen, doesn't like him some running, apparently.
Yeah, apparently not. I don't know what it's going to take. Because you get the win, and I'm very, very thrilled about that. But you ran the ball 23 times, and you threw the ball 37 times in a game that was pretty much within a score all game.
Does he think that the screen is a run?
A run, maybe. Kind of is, I guess. 20 minutes after the hour, the Colorado Buffaloes get absolutely dumped on by Arizona over the weekend. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll catch up with the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. He's also getting set for basketball tonight. The Buffs play Montana State as well. So that crossover stuff is very fascinating when you talk to the broadcasters of these games. But where do the Buffs go from here? They got to win out just to get into a bowl game. That's why the Arizona game was important. So you don't put all the pressure on these final three games. And if they're going to play like that, yeah, they ain't going bowling. No way. It's a whole show. We'll be right back.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man game. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Holmes.
Welcome back into the show. Beverage of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. Not your father's root beer. A premium malt beverage at 5.9% ABV. It's the one your father warned you about. Thanks for that, Travis, my friend. On the Rocks Liquor. On the Rocks, they got a bunch of stuff going on as we're now in November. Got great specials on Wild Turkey, such as the Straight Bourbon 101, the Oak and Texas Mesquite Charcoal Refined Long Branch, or the super popular American Honey, available in pints at On the Rocks Liquor. They got you covered. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Can we just give a shout-out to Torrey Horton, by the way? In that Seattle's looking good. But Torrey Horton, 13 receptions in his rookie year, but five touchdowns. He had two touchdowns last night. And, man, he turned on the afterburners, that hot, nasty speed. Torrey's fun to watch, man. That's a great player right there who might turn out to be a really, really good NFL guy. Yes, Michael.
Trade him to a team I hate less.
This is a weird comment. Can't you just be happy for somebody? It's not all about your little weird obsession with the Broncos, and if they're not a Bronco, then you don't care.
He's a
Ram. He's a local guy. We got to watch him for a few years here. That's awesome. And now we get to watch him doing it in the NFL.
I was about to say trade him to the Browns because I don't hate the Browns as much.
Trade
but then
the
I
Broncos.
Realized that would not be nice.
Why don't you just trade him to the Broncos? How about that? Let's just make that deal done. Get that deal done. I don't think Seattle's in a hurry to trade Torrey Horton. He's fun to watch, man. Excited for him. That was one of the big things that Jay Norvell brought to Colorado State was Torrey Horton. Unfortunately, couldn't find more of those guys. You got to find more of those guys, Mike. The Rams are back at action this weekend, going up against UNLV. I mentally for CSU, my brain is on basketball. Ali Faroukhmanesh, the first game of his career, the first official game as head coach of the Rams. They're going up against Incarnate Word. I believe they're big favorites. I'm going to have all the screens up tonight, Mike, because we got Nuggets going up against the Kings. We might see Nick Clifford play. I mean, I'd be watching the Nuggets anyway. You got Russell Westbrook on this roster for the Kings. Denver's heavy favorites in this game tonight. UNC should be a heavy favorite in this game tonight. And CSU, I believe, should be a heavy favorite in this game tonight. So, hey, we got college basketball all over the place. It's happening now, Mike. It's happening now. Like,
and
right now.
We have the NFL.
Yeah, who's playing tonight? We have that on 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Coverage begins at 5 o'clock. The game itself is at 6:15, and that'll be the Arizona Cardinals at the Dallas Cowboys. I'll be watching that.
I'm doing basketball.
I'll be watching football.
I put this out on my X account. What should I watch tonight? And you only get so many selections, so easy, Buffs fans. You guys are mean to me. Nuggets, Rams, Bears, or other. And I got 62% saying I should watch the Rams.
And what is that on?
CSU tonight?
Which social?
X.
Okay, I don't know how to use that.
Okay.
Well, I would have voted for other for the NFL.
This will be on the Mountain West Network, the CSU game. I thought that's what you were asking me, but this will be on the Mountain West Network tonight.
You have that?
Yeah. Well, it's Mountain West Network. Just go to the Mountain West Network. Go to
the
website.
Okay, so it's a website.
Yeah, it's a website, Mike. You don't watch a lot of Mountain West basketball, do you?
No.
If it's not Washington or the Broncos, you're not watching. 30 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffalo, is going to join us next. Weird weekend for Colorado. So we'll talk to Mark about that. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, you're probably ready now for basketball season, I would imagine. You're getting there?
Well, I tell you what, I was thinking as you were coming to me, things I'd rather talk about than that game from last weekend.
Yes.
The last time I had food poisoning, we could chat about that. The last time I had a colonoscopy, we can chat about that if you like.
Yeah, I'm writing it down for notes for later.
Yeah, there's a long list of kind of things I'd rather talk about than those last two bowl games. But in all seriousness, brutal.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this here, Brady. To differentiate between those two ball games, one of the narratives we've had for much of this season, when you look at the losses that Colorado had suffered. And you even throw the Utah game into that, okay? The combined record of those teams was something like, 33-5 or 33-6 or something along those lines. Now, the Utah game was very, very ugly. But that was a bully ball game. Arizona is a fine football team. There's nothing special about the Arizona Wildcats. And that's what makes, in my view, this past Saturday much more egregious than the week before. Is that Arizona's a fine football team. They'll be a bowl team, but they're just a middle-of-the-road kind of Big 12 conference football team. And so that's why that was so alarming and disturbing the other night.
Mark, what has been the drop, the difference? Because, even before the Iowa State win, the TCU game was very competitive. BYU game, certainly chances to win. Those were good games.
Georgia Tech,
yeah, to start the season. I mean, it hasn't really, the Houston game wasn't great, but I kept saying, I was like, this Buffs team is not a bad team. They just can't figure out how to get over that hump, and then they do it against Iowa State, and then we have these last two games.
Yeah, if I had that answer, number one, they pay me $10.5 million a year, okay? Which they don't, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. I don't know. I can't figure it out. And the only thing, anytime you see these kind of precipitous, falls like this, you start saying, okay, what's going on internally? The one thing I wonder about, I do this all the time, unless it's very obvious. Last year with this team, you didn't have to ask anybody who the leader of the team was. It was Shedeur Sanders, it was Travis Hunter, it was Shiloh Sanders, it was Cameron Sylvan Craig. Those four probably more so than anybody else, and then there'd be another small handful of guys. I started here a couple of weeks ago when I sit down with all the coaches all the time and talk about various things. I started saying, you tell me, who's the leader of this team? I haven't had one guy be able to answer that question.
That's a problem. Yeah.
That's a real problem. That is a real problem. Normally it falls to your quarterback. That's generally in football how it found. It's John Elway, it's Peyton Manning, it's Tom Brady, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's whomever. You can't say that. Brian Howell from the Boulder Daily Camera sent me a number yesterday. He goes, you got to see this. I think he's already tweeted it out, so it's probably been out there. Caden Salter has started in nine games a season that he started. He has been the leading passer, I think it's only five times.
Wow.
Think about that number for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't see that, right? Unless the guy gets hurt. But that has not been the case. So your quarterback has not been very consistent. They move that back and forth. So he's not going to be the guy. And then you start saying, okay, Rod Smith once told me years ago, and I was with Rod Smith, and he got hurt, and I said something about, well, at least he can kind of lead. And he goes, no. If you're not out there doing it every single day, you have to be a guy that performs at a high level. Then you can lead on a football team. If you're just a guy, some guy hanging out, you can't be a leader. Now, he said, you might have good things to say, maybe guys respect you. But he said, truly being a leader. Well, you tell me, who on this team has been a guy that every week you've said, okay, mark him down. He gets a B-plus grade or above every week. I don't know who that would be.
Yeah. Yeah, just like you said, last year, Mark, you had a lot of good players, but you had the obvious guys, obvious players that you looked to and just said, hey, that's the pulse of the team, both on the field and off the field. You had a handful of those guys. And most teams, you expect that to be the quarterback, and it's just been clunky. You know, what, going through as many quarterbacks as he did on Saturday, and now we're going to be asking, you know, is it Julian Lewis the rest of the way through? Ryan Staub comes in. That was rough. It's hard to establish a quarterback, and I never like, you know, benching him with the idea of maybe he's going to come back, he'll learn a lesson. I don't know, but it's just been clunky for this team.
It has. And by the way, you're being kind.
Yeah.
And I like Ryan a lot.
He's
a great kid. But you're being kind, saying, well, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
He completed two passes to the guys at the other jersey.
Yeah, was it 0-for-2?
0-for-2 with the two interceptions.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And, you know, sometimes I think when you see teams and they have these quarterback issues, these carousels, I think it, because football is such a unique beast, right? It's that position is such a unique place in the pantheon of sports. It's the most important position in sports, period. I don't think there's anything else that even comes close to it, the guy in that position. And so when you don't have that, I think whether it's something that's spoken out loud or it's just inherent, it's probably more inherent than anything else, a team realizes we really don't have a rudder here. If you've got now, you could have a team like that's got a unbelievably dominant defense, for example, that might have an identity because of that. That can set the tone of the game. But when you've got a defense that's been up and down, you don't have that guy. You've got an offense that's been up and down, and so then everyone's looking around like, oh, I don't know who we're following here, you know. And I don't believe a team can really be successful being a coach-led team. I don't think that can happen. It has to be a player-led team. Teams have to have ownership within the locker room. Then they play for each other. Then they execute. Then they're held accountable. Coaches can't do that. And I think that's kind of what you've got with this squad, is that's the kind of team it is. Now, could Juju become that as he grows into a quarterback? Because he's an awfully talented kid. I think that could happen. But you want to make sure that he's not the only one. You know, think of Broncos Super Bowl teams when you had Andre Ware on one side and not Andre Ware. Did I say that right? Defensive end.
DeMarcus Ware, yeah.
DeMarcus Ware. Peyton Manning on the other, and you got other guys around. You need multiple guys, but, you know, right now this team, I think, is sorely missing leadership in that regard.
Well, at the beginning of the season, Coach Prime talked about this roster, and, you know, I think a couple of times he mentioned, like, we might be a better roster overall. We don't have those superstars, but we might have a better roster A through Z. I mean, that you hear
that may be true.
And then you just see this on the field, and a lot of it is the quarterback position, but it's a lot of things too. I mean, defensively,
something.
Not stopping the run, a lot of those things, Mark.
You know, and the injury thing has played into it. Would they have four scholarship defensive linemen playing last week on the interior? And so they've been hit hard with injuries. We understand that. Linebacker play has not been good on this team. Jeremiah Brown has kind of risen here as of late and playing relatively well. But the linebacking play has not been good. A lot of times when you see the big gashers, it's because of misassignments or misfits from a linebacker standpoint. Gary's pointed out many times there's a way of going under a play and a way of going over the top of the play. And as Gary always talks about it, if you're going to linebacker, and we had Chad Brown on, by the way, a couple weeks ago on a pregame show, and he got talking about this. He said, if you go under the play, you have to make sure 100% I can make that play. Because well, you put yourself in a bad, really bad position. So what they're talking about is there's a shortcut to get to maybe making the gap that you want to get to. And if you're going to take the shortcut, you have to make the play. If you don't now, you've gotten yourself out of position, which leaves an open hole. And that's what teams have exploited here in recent weeks. And it's like, you know, well, I shouldn't even say recent weeks, but it happened all season long, to be honest with you. A lot of explosive plays against this defense. Well, fellas, let's stop doing that, right? Let's coach that out of them, for goodness sakes. In the secondary, been okay at different times. And so it's not like, you know, last year that defense might have given up some yards and points at occasion, but it was getting to the quarterback, led the Big 12 in sacks, and it forced a lot of turnovers. Well, neither of those are the case this year, and then you're not playing well on top of it. So, no, there's a lot of, you know, as I like to say, there's a lot of stink to go around. And stink's gotten on everybody right now. And so this is a lot of soul-searching right now. We'll find out here very quickly what this team is going to do, whether they're going to sack their bats and be thinking about the off season, or they're going to buckle down and start paying attention and taking care of business. Like, you know, that, and by the way, that then falls on a coaching staff. So teams have to lead themselves, have to be player-led teams, but coaches have to set tones, and we'll see if they're able to do that.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. And this is kind of interesting territory for Coach Prime. You know, that first year was just excitement. Didn't really matter what the year looked like, honestly. They won a few more games than what they did the year prior, and that was a success that was celebrated. Last year, obviously, you got to 9 wins. You won some big games. You were in the discussion in your conference. And now this year, a lot of us expected this to be somewhat down compared to last year just because of those big names. But then when you see those kind of losses, this is different territory for Coach Prime. This is definitely more of a, I would imagine there's a lot more fans today kind of hovering over that panic button.
Oh, you know the way this works.
Oh, yeah.
And when things take a dark turn, all of a sudden you get the buzzards are circling above you, waiting for the dead bodies, right? You see that all the time. And so, and that's the way we are in society. And social media feeds into that, where, you know, I've always said we live in a society where either you're a Hall of Famer or you suck, and there's no one between. That's kind of the perception of things. That's how people act. That's how they respond. Well, that's not real. We know that the vast majority of reality is actually in the gray area in between, right? And the fringes are actually the exception, not the rule. But that's not the way that things work on social media, right? So that's what they're dealing with right now. And so, you know, he didn't let anybody talk after the game the other night. I know they've clamped down on who talks this week. In fact, I'm still trying to figure out what kind of pregame interviews I can get, because I'm not sure who they're going to let us talk to. And so it is a new situation. But keep in mind as well, when you think about this, Brady, this is the first time he's ever coached without his sons being there.
Yeah.
And so Shedeur Sanders, who has been a dominant player, a dominant personality, and is the coach's son in the middle of that locker room and has always got a presence. And, you know, I said at one point, it's interesting, I was thinking about going into the season, I thought, this will be the first time for Coach Prime that he hasn't owned the locker room with the extension of himself being in there. Okay? Make sense?
Yeah.
He doesn't have Shedeur or Shiloh in there. They're not there policing a locker room or being an extension of the head coach. You take that out, and all of a sudden now, okay, we all know who Prime is. He's like any other head coach. He's the guy up there on the throne. He's the head of this whole deal. But when he's not in the locker room, like all of us do, right? You complain about your boss when they're not around. Like you, Brady, in your exalted position with your radio station, when you're not there, I'm going to break news to you. Other people are complaining about you.
I knew that was happening. I just had a feeling.
So that's when then, you know, that player-led organization then really becomes important. They say nice things about you. I've talked to many.
Yeah, to my face. But now that you say it, there's an investigation that's going to be needed here. We're going to get in on this.
but you know the way that works.
Yeah, I mean, 100%.
You know, right, if you're standing, if the guy, your buddy's dad is the coach or your boss or something, you're not going to say anything bad about your boss or, you know, or the coach next to your buddy who's his kid. But now all of a sudden, now he's there, that, you know, the son's not there. So now it's easier to complain about about the coach and what they're doing and how you don't like this and don't like that. That's just part of human nature. And so I think that's probably part of the equation as well.
Yeah, Mark, there's so many questions. We're up against it. But basketball tonight, the Buffs going up against Montana State.
Matt, Bobcats in town, 7 o'clock game. Our buddy Jerry Schimmel's doing radio tonight. Scott and I are on TV on ESPN+. And it's good to have Tad Boyle on the basketball team. Very exciting young squad. I think they're going to be a lot of fun to give us a lot of stuff to talk about all season long.
I love it. Mark, my friend, appreciate you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, bud. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. 12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
A time for thanks. We're thankful for you, Northern Colorado. Thanks for listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
All right, 6 minutes until the top of the hour. In the next hour, I have some interesting comments from Coach Prime after that Arizona stomping that they took. Very fascinating. As always, Coach Prime's fascinating to listen to, but I have thoughts on pretty much everything. Because Shedeur Sanders also surprised Coach Prime, showed up, they did their walk thing like they used to when he played, and that's a cool moment. It's just some of the things that he said. Just kind of fascinating yet again. And then my question is, like, has the shine really, has it worn off now surrounding Coach Prime and these Buffs? The guy's making $10 million, and we're not allowed to talk about pressure for Coach Prime? Yeah, Texter Smitty text in talking about the quarterback position. So much of bad programs and bad records and bad seasons can go back to, there's a lot of things. Their run defense is atrocious, but how you handle the quarterback. I didn't like it from the beginning. So we'll get into some of that coming up. We got Buy or Sell Stockwatch Edition. Don't go anywhere. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.